Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
That it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast to the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting, and no diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then, at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Thank you, Steph. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you that your word is powerful. It cuts through bone and marrow. It's a two-edged sword, Lord God, that enables us and helps us to live out the life where we are at right now, Lord God. And so this morning, as we set our eyes on you this morning, Father, we pray for your wisdom. We ask, we welcome your Holy Spirit this morning, and we thank you for your great, great word that's going to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' mighty, wonderful name, amen. Why don't you say hi to someone before you sit down? Hey, hey. Yes. So good. Okay, so we're continuing in our series. Like I said, we're going through our series of A Light in Babylon. And we're seeing what we can learn from Daniel and his friends as they live out life in Babylon. Hey, welcome, Lessa. Hope you had a good time in Samoa. Welcome, sis. Yes, her and her family just got back from Samoa. Yeah, under 17 champions for Samoa. Yep. So good, so good. And so today we're going to be looking at a powerful story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? Everyone familiar? Everyone heard, you know, of the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Yes? Yes. Would have heard it in Sunday school. And so we're going to be looking at the significance of the dens and windows in our journey of faith, okay? The dens and windows of our journey. And so the title of my message this morning is Dens and Windows. Everyone say dens and windows. Yes. Okay, so what is a den? What is a den? So a den is typically like a small space that animals would usually hide in or find shelter in for their family, right? And so some animals that live in dens are rabbits, foxes, bears, wolves, and lions. And so in the context of biblical narrative, a den symbolizes a place of danger, a place of isolation, confinement. And so it can represent a situation or circumstances where an individual may feel trapped, may feel surrounded by adversity or challenges, things that they're walking through, imminent danger or harm. Aristotle said this: it is during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. It is during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. Daniel was in a pretty dark place, and yet he came out of that place into the light. There's this movie called Shawshank Redemption. Anyone ever seen that? Yeah? Yes? The older people have seen it? Excellent. That's our year, 1994. Okay, and so the Shawshank Redemption, right? So it's the story of this guy called Andy Dufresne. Okay, Andy Dufresne, and it's played by Tim Robbins. Okay, and so he's this banker, and he's wrongfully convicted of a murder, and so he's sentenced to life in prison in Shawshank State Penitentiary. And so Andy finds himself trapped in this den of the prison walls. He's facing darkness. He's facing injustice. And there's no obvious way out for him. But through this, through his unwavering determination and belief in the power and hope and his acts of kindness, he maintains his integrity. And this creates windows of opportunities for him in the prison system. He ends up forming some key relationships, some key friendships with both prison staff as well as the inmates there. And then he ultimately engineers a very daring escape from prison. And so where he emerges into the light of freedom and redemption. And so this movie is not a Christian movie, okay? So I'm not recommending it for you to go and watch, right? But there's some key things that are woven into this movie that are that we see in the life of Daniel and his friends. Things like hope, injustice, integrity, kindness, and freedom. And so in Daniel 6, we see the mention of Darius the Mede. Darius the Mede. And so he's the king at this time. And so with this Darius, it's interesting that he's found here in the Bible, but there's no other reference to him in history outside of the Bible. And so there's some interesting ideas around why Darius is mentioned in the Bible, but not, you know, there's no other historical accounts of him. And one of them is that they think that he may have taken the name. He may have taken this name as Darius the Mede, taken it because he had become king. Because in that time, sometimes kings would take on specific names. And so that's one of the, I suppose, theories, I guess, of this Darius the Mede. So Daniel is shown so much favor by God that he serves under four kings. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar, we've been looking at him in the first four chapters of Daniel. And then Belshazzar, it's in Daniel chapter 5. And then here in chapter 6, we're seeing Darius. And then the fourth king is Cyrus the Great. And he's covered in Daniel chapter 10. And so Daniel is one of the three high officials that is overseeing like these smaller regions. And so if you think of it, it's like councils in our area here, right? So there are multiple councils around. And so these smaller councils, they're overseen by what they call these satraps. Satraps, that's what they call them. They're like governors or counselors, right? In the different era, in the different councils around us. And so as Daniel is being faithful and doing great works, this gets the attention of the king. Because the king sees him as, man, this guy is so trustworthy. This guy does so many great things. So I want to make him, the king is thinking that he wants to make him like a ruler over everything. You know, those 120 regions, he wants to make him ruler over them and the guys that are overseeing all that. But not everyone agrees with the king. Not everyone sees Daniel like the way that this king sees him. And they just see Daniel as, oh, he's just that Jewish guy. And now he's overruling us. They didn't like the boss of Daniel, right? They didn't like Daniel as a boss because he's a Jewish guy. And so these guys, they're like, okay, we need to do something about this, right? We need to do something to discredit or destroy Daniel because they were jealous. They were jealous of Daniel. And so in Daniel 6, verse 4 to 5, it says this, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel and with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. Everyone say, because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. Wow. So these guys are looking for dirt on Daniel, right? They're trying to find, man, I'm sure this guy has done something really dodgy in the past, right? That's what they're trying to find. And they can't find anything that sort of highlights his character in that way. And so they can't destroy his character. They can't get to his character because of the way that he has lived his life. In verse 5, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in the connection with the law of his God. And so since these guys couldn't find any dirt on Daniel, so now they're going to try and ruin the relationship of Daniel and his God. And so Daniel was faithful. Are we faithful? Are we faithful with what God has entrusted to us? Right? Are we known as people that, you know, when people look at us, do they see us as, oh, man, Steph is such a great worker, you know? Dorothy, oh, she has so much integrity when she turns up at work, you know? Do people see that in us, right? Do they think those thoughts about us when they see us? You know, are we good workers? Are we excellent in what we do? Do we represent God well? What do people see or think of when they look at you? Do they see you as a faithful, excellent worker? Because Daniel was. Daniel was. And so basically what they do is governors, they come up with this bogus law, right, where they try to trap Daniel and they're wanting to get rid of him. And so the law that they wanted the king to sign off on was this, that over the next 30 days, everyone was to pray to the king and no one was to pray to their gods anymore. So the next 30 days, everyone has to pray to the king for whatever needs that they need, okay, it's to the king. And anyone who doesn't pray to the king, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And you think about it, man, how stupid is that? Who says stuff like that, right? These guys knew. They knew Daniel. They knew Daniel and how he conducted himself. You know, they knew that Daniel was faithful in his prayer life. They knew he prayed 3 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day to his God. And so when they come back, when these guys come back from, you know, from going out and seeing Daniel, oh, look, he's not praying to the king. He's praying to his God. And so they come back to the king and they report this to the king. Hey, king, there's someone out there that is not abiding by this new law that you have decreed. And it's this guy, Daniel. And it's funny because this isn't anything new that Daniel's doing. This is something that he's always done. He's always prayed. He's always spent time with God daily. He is doing what he has always done. And that is praying 3 times throughout the day to God with his windows open and facing toward Jerusalem. And so here is a question for us this morning. What are daily things that we are doing to posture ourselves towards God? What are daily things that we are doing to posture ourselves towards God? What windows do we have open that connect us with God daily? Right? What are those things? Daniel was praying 3 times a day. How do we acknowledge and remind ourselves about God throughout our day? You know, maybe you're a person who prays in the morning, prays at lunchtime, and prays in the evening. Awesome. Awesome. But what other ways? How are the ways that we can connect with God intentionally throughout our day? Opening up His Word, letting Him speak to us, right? How are we doing that? How are we setting our attention on God regularly throughout our day? You know, it's interesting, the king's response to this situation, when these guys come back and they're reporting about, you know, about Daniel, and it says that the king was distressed by this news. The king was, he was anxious about this, right? That these officials had come back with Daniel as the one that's not obeying his law, his decree that he had passed. This wasn't news to the king. The king knew exactly what Daniel was doing. He knew, remember, he knew him as a faithful servant. The king wanted to promote Daniel to be the overseer of everything because he knew that he was an excellent worker. He was an honest person. He was a man filled with integrity. The king knew this. And it wasn't until this point that he finally saw, oh my gosh, these guys are wanting to get rid of Daniel. He was sort of open to this. And that's why there's this anguish in him. Because he finally got, he could see, oh my gosh, these guys are trying to get rid of Daniel. But he knew that Daniel was a trusted worker of his. So the king was very anxious throughout the whole day and night. And it says that he didn't sleep at all that night. And so here's the first thing that we want to see, that we see from Daniel's life. And the first thing is this: Daniel's courage to face the den. Daniel's courage to face the dens. Right? So Daniel didn't change anything that he was currently doing or to try and fit in. You know, to try and fit in into the world or to, you know, follow the crowd. He didn't bow down to society and what they were, you know, putting in place or imposing on them. He just carried on praying. He just carried on living his life that is focused towards, that is honoring to God. And we see two key characteristics in Daniel's life, okay? And so we see his unwavering devotion to God. His unwavering devotion to God. And then secondly, we see his commitment to prayer. Daniel wasn't scared of these new and unfavorable conditions that had been imposed on everybody. He was steadfast in his faith in God. His faith in God was not dictated by or determined by what society was trying to mold him into, right? Because Daniel was already molded by God. And so I guess the question for us is, have we been molded by God? Has God molded us to be of a specific way to lean towards Him? Is that mold within us? Or are we letting society mold us? Are we letting what is happening around us, mold our thinking, mold our attitudes, mold our perceptions of things around us, people around us? Even in his commitment to his prayer life, just because the circumstances had changed, it didn't mean that Daniel had to change his prayer life with God. He just kept going. You know, I know of situations in my own personal life where I've allowed the environment around me, stuff that's happening around me, to change or even influence how I live my life for God. How I've tried to have regular moments with God. Stuff happens around me. Stuff happens in me. And then that can sort of veer us away from actually having that time, that regular time with God. Daniel didn't change the way that he met with God just because society around him had changed. He still walked out a life that was honoring and obeying God. Could we do that in our society today? Could we do that in our lives today? Could we be unwavering in our devotion to God? Could we be committed to our prayer life? No matter what challenges or new things that may be imposed on us, will we still be faithful to God? Will we still stand firm for God in our lives, even when society, even though society around us may be trying to persecute us, may be trying to bring us down, may be trying to change us? Will we be unwavering in our devotion to God? Will we be committed to our prayer life? You know, Joseph is another example of someone who was unwavering in his devotion to God, right? There were several places throughout Joseph's life where it showed this this unwaveringness of that of Joseph, right? You know, how many men do you know would run away when a woman was, you know, basically throwing themselves at them, right? Not many. Not many, if any, right? But Joseph did. He ran away from that situation. He ran away from that woman that was chasing him, that sinful situation. He ran in the opposite direction like he was Usain Bolt, right? He was unwavering in his devotion to God because he knew the importance of his relationship with God was way more important than trying to get a one-time fling with a woman. He saw the importance of his relationship. He doesn't want to sin against God. He doesn't want to, you know, bring this upon himself. He wanted to stay in alignment with God. He was unwavering in his devotion to God. Remember a couple of weeks we looked in Daniel 3, the three young Jewish guys, right? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They didn't bow down to the command that Nebuchadnezzar had put out, right? Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, when everyone hears this music, you all got to bow down to the statue, right? And these three guys are like, sorry, boss, but no. Our God, who we worship, doesn't allow us to bow down to your gods. And what's the king's response? Okay, throw them in the fire. Throw them in the furnace. And in the fire, they don't even get burned. They don't even get singed. They don't even smell of smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar sees this and he's like, oh my gosh. We threw three people in there and I see four. And they are just walking around like they're walking on the beach. And so what does he say? Guys, can you come out here? Because the God that you guys are worshiping, he must be real, right? He must be real because I was hoping to burn you up, but you aren't burned. And so they come out. They represent God in this way. So in and through all these situations, we see the evidence of God's presence, the evidence of God's protection in the dens of trials. And so what does this tell us about God? It tells us this, that God is faithful in delivering Daniel from the lions. And God is faithful in delivering us from our lions. God is faithful. In verse 19, it says this, then at break of day, The king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. Everyone say, a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. God, this is God delivering Daniel. This is God delivering Daniel. And it's funny seeing this king show a real concern for Daniel, right? He can't sleep all night. And so he gets up real early the next morning and he's going to the lion's den and he's calling out to Daniel. Daniel, Daniel, you still there? Did the God who you serve, did he save you from the lion's mouth? You know, if I was Daniel, I'd be like, not say anything. Let him sweat for a bit. You know? And the king's like, oh king, I'm here. Right? This is God's handiwork. This is God delivering Daniel. Maybe you're feeling like that you're in a lion's den right now, where you may not see a way out. You know, it may seem dark and lonely. You may not even sense that God is with you. You may not even feel like that God even knows you're here. But know this, God is with you. God is with you. Jesus tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is with us in all that we go through. Know this, that when we are in the dens of trials, when we are in those moments of isolation, of struggle, when we're in those moments, know that God is with you. Know that Jesus is with you. You know, when we go through those dens of trials, it's an opportunity for us to lean into God. It's an opportunity for us to trust in Him. No matter what we're going through, no matter how hard things may be. Jesus Himself was thrown into a den, right? A den-like thing. His body was laid in a tomb. Think about this. He was made to be blamed for everything. Everything that he said, everything that he did to the people around him, the Pharisees and all that, they're like, this guy is blaspheming. He's speaking against God. He's speaking against the law that God had given us. And so what do? They kill him. And then they throw him into a den. And they think, yeah, he's gone. He's finished. That's it. He's been dealt with. But that's not the end of it, right? Jesus himself experienced the den life. But let's turn our attention to the significance of windows. What is a window? Okay, a window can be a symbol of divine intervention, revelation, or an opportunity that brings light and deliverance. You know, in Daniel's story, windows are seen as openings through which God's power and intervention become evident. So I want to remind us about this, the power of open windows. Everyone say, the power of open windows. Power. There is power in open windows. Daniel prayed with an open window. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He was honoring his God. He was opening the window, displaying a sense of transparency with God. And so we see Daniel's unwavering commitment to God, especially in the area of a faithful prayer life. He prayed 3 times a day. in the same way, in the same posture. And then secondly, in Daniel's refusal to compromise his prayer life and his worship of God, he stood firmly. For me, the word that sums up Daniel's prayer life the best is this word, consistent. Daniel was consistent. Are we consistent in our lives? How consistent are we? Now, I'm talking about consistency in terms of you say something and you do it. You say you'll be here and you do it. You say you're going to do this and you do it. Right? How consistent are we in our lives? So it is important to note that through this consistent prayer life that Daniel lives out, that Daniel walks out, that divine intervention followed through. That was his lifestyle. That was the way that he just lived his life, was this prayer life. And so when he got into those then moments, it was like, oh my gosh, got nothing to worry about. It's all on God. God's going to bring this through. It's his will that's going to be done. That was Daniel's mentality because he had spent those times in open windows with God. And then come to those moments of being in dens, in those den seasons. God had already seen his faithfulness. God already knows his heart. And God brings him through that. Think about this. What could our prayer lives be protecting us from? What could our prayer lives be protecting us from? What could God be doing in the unseen that is keeping us safe because of an unwavering prayer life? Things that may be happening or trying to unfold in the spiritual realm. But because we've been in open windows with God, God sees these things. He goes, oh, I'll take care of my son. I'll take care of my daughter. Whatever that den may be, I got you, son. I got you, daughter. There is power in open windows. Listen to what King Darius ordered after this, right? King Darius says this. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who saved Daniel from the power of the lions. This response sounds very similar to Nebuchadnezzar's response in Daniel 6. Back in Daniel 6, verse 34 to 35. Except we know with Nebuchadnezzar, he made a choice to believe in God. He made a clear choice to believe in God. The God that Daniel was following. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm following that God. But with Darius, it's not quite clear where he's at. He makes the decree for everyone else to follow. But it's not clear where he stands. So, I want us to remember this. Windows are opportunities for divine revelation and intervention. Here we see again the hand of God and his good and perfect will unfolding just as he had purposed it. Working through the lives of the most unlikely people, through the lives of kings, rulers, foreign kings, governors, leaders, God's chosen people, God's plan unfolding. I want to encourage us to build a life that is prayer-driven, to build a life that is Christ-centered, to build a life that is devoted to God. You know, in our lives, having those regular moments of open windows with God, right? And it may be just sitting somewhere in a secluded place by yourself, and it's just you and God, sitting at a park bench. And that's an open window that you are having time with God, that you just want to hear from God, that you just want to love on God, right? How does that look like in our lives? We need the courage to face the dens of our lives, to trust in God's faithfulness and His protection, no matter what we may be walking through. We need the prayer, we need the power of open windows in our lives, to be in tune with God and all and His will, and to allow opportunities for divine intervention, for divine revelation to be manifested in and through us. You know, Jesus Himself was laid in a den, right? I said that a bit earlier on. It was this tomb where the people, they just wanted to kill Jesus, right? But Jesus walked out of that den, right? He walked out of that tomb. So just as open windows can provide these opportunities, Jesus is the open door to the opportunity of salvation. In John 10:9, it says this. This is Jesus' words. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is the final part. Jesus is the only way to be saved. Jesus is the only way to be saved. We went and saw yesterday, some parents went with the youth to watch Jesus Revolution. Anyone watch that? Right? Anyone notice? What's this mean? Okay, if you saw it, you know it. Okay, so this Jesus Revolution, if you haven't watched it, I encourage you, go and watch it before it stops being at the movies, right? So I encourage you, watch Jesus Revolution, okay? And so, Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. To find pasture is to find a place of restoration. It's to find a place of nourishment. It's to find a place of fulfillment, a place of contentment. And it's only found in Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to spoil the movie for you. But these kids at this time, the hippies, you know, they're the flower power, all that stuff, right? The older people will notice. Okay, so at this time, because the movie's set around the late 60s, early 70s, okay? And so this was around where, hippies and drugs were rampant. And then Jesus comes right in the middle of this. Right in the middle of it. All this happening. And people think, oh, these hippies are all weird. They're just worried about getting high and getting drugged out and stuff like that. But in the midst of it, Jesus is working in the hearts of those people. So go watch it, okay? When we come through Jesus, when we come into relationship with Jesus, we'll find this healing. We'll find this restoration. We'll find this contentment in Him if we choose to come to Him. So I want to encourage us this morning, wherever we are, whether it is in a den of life challenges or trials that you may be walking through, or whether you're in an open window season, right, where you're experiencing the great and wonderful presence of God, the blessing of God in your life, I want to encourage us with this. Go deeper. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. Don't be satisfied with what God is doing in you right there and then. Because He's probably just doing a little bit in your life right now. But if you dig a little bit deeper, He's probably going to do a whole lot more in and through you. I want us to embrace our dens of life, our dens of trials, the dens of struggles. I want us to embrace it in a way that it's all centered and built upon the open windows in our lives, those times that we spend with Jesus, so that God will be glorified in and through each of us. Amen? Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for the reminder of the dens and windows that we may go through in our lives, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for seeing each and every one of us, Lord God. You know us. You see every son, every daughter, right where we're at. And for some of us that are sitting in here, we may think that, God's too far away. He won't accept me. He won't take me. But Lord, your word tells us that you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you accept all who will call upon the name of Jesus. And so this morning, Lord God, I pray that we would have more windows in our lives than dens, Father, that we would encounter more windows of openness towards you in our lives than dens, Lord God. And so that when we come to those dens, Lord God, that we will be able to walk through those dens, that we'll be able to come out of those dens on the other side, Lord God, because you have met us, you have dealt with us, you have restored us in those window moments, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for where you have each and every one of us, Lord God. Thank you for your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Okay, so here's our discussion question this morning. Okay, so if I am in a den or an open window season, what areas of my heart do I need to check in with God? Okay, whether you're in a den season or whether in a window of open, you know, where God's blessing you and stuff like that, what areas of my heart do I need to check in with God? Okay, so I'll give you like 3 minutes, have a chat with the person next to you, and I want to give you some time to pray for each other as well, all right? So spend some time to pray with each other as well. Okay, so we'll see you in 3 minutes, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.